Little Aaron Brothers loved that rascal Puff and brought him capos and fancy cows and CBD cigarette butts.
That is some random stuff right there.
I think this movie and this song is the reason why I've been a tchotchke kid for all of my life.
But with that, this is Memory Static, the podcast that digs up the things that you like to watch when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. And sometimes there's an original song at the end of the episode, but not this time, because this is not a regular episode. It's a bonus episode.
I feel like I just gave the original song, so we're good.
That's true. I didn't appreciate that, I apologize. I should have recognized that at the very beginning, even though it's more of a parody than an original song. But yeah,
I mean, they're my boons for Puff.
That's right.
Sorry, I couldn't come up with a more quote unquote original melody. Like Colin, I'm making rabbit ears with my thing. This is humor that's not gonna translate. It's fine. Go on, Bailey. It's your podcast.
Oh, that's right. Well, I am Bailey Moore. I am the host, and I have with me as my guest, so that I can talk about this movie and not just be talking to myself, Aaron Brothers.
Howdy.
And more than that, I really appreciate Aaron and Aaron's perspective. So I'm really glad that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. It's a weird movie. But yeah. What movies do we cover that are not weird?
That's true. I feel like anything before 1995 is pretty weird.
Completely agree.
These came out, well, at least the first one came out in the 70s. And we're going to be watching the 3 Puff the Magic Dragon episodes. I don't know if anybody else out there knew that there was more than one. I know you just recently learned that, right, Aaron?
Just recently. So everything beyond number one is a mystery to me.
So we've got Puff the Magic Dragon, and then we have Puff and the Land of Living Lies, and then we have Puff the Incredible Mr. Nobody.
So the second one straight up sounds like a metal album.
I can see that. Like that's
like, it's like the band Puff, but it's all legible lettering. It's like the Land of Lies. Like an early Pantera album. The third one sounds like it could be an Elton John album.
Oh my gosh. That's so apt.
Right?
I love it. Yes. I'm glad that we're going to be watching the 3, because the third one I never watched as a child, but I did watch the second one. And that one, The Land of Living Lies, always seemed very sinister to me in comparison to the first, which I know that the first one has some scary moments in it, but just like to have the protagonist fall into a land where nothing is as it seems, that it's meant to deceive you, the whole thing, which that just really kind of creeped me out as a child.
That's a horrifying concept to give to a child.
Yeah, I feel like you'll see, you'll know when we watch it, but tell me about your experience with Puff the Magic Dragon.
It's funny. So when you asked me about this, of course, you know, you start thinking like, when was the last time I watched this movie, et cetera, et cetera. When I was a kid, I didn't know what sealing wax was.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I don't think many kids like, yes, sealing wax, which proves that Jackie Draper.
Yeah, Jackie Draper, who becomes Jackie Paper to go on the adventure.
Yeah, it proves how weird this child is. In a certain way, like how unique he is, because I didn't know what sealing wax was. So I thought Puff's a dragon, and they talk about all these magical places and Hanalei, and the term fancy stuff could be anything, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that sealing wax was wax that came from a particular kind of sealing, like above your head.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, you mentioned this to me earlier, and when you said sealing wax, the first thing that popped into my head because of this song was that I thought that sealing wax was something that you plugged cracks in when they showed up in your ceiling. Because we were talking about Puff the Magic Dragon and then you said sealing wax, that's immediately what I thought of, because I forgot for a second what sealing wax actually is. because that was so firmly in my head for a really long time, because you're right, it was such a weird thing for a kid to want. I thought it was very utilitarian of this child to like need to plug the cracks in his ceiling. Like that's a hobby of his.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of was like, okay, so this kid's friends with the dragon, reasonable, understandable. So that means sealing wax has to be something extraordinary, which is why I cultivated wax from a certain kind of sealing. Like, yes, this wax is, you only call it sealing wax if it originates from the wax region of France, like kind of wax, you know? So when I asked my mom what it was, finally, like I got the courage to be like, please tell me what this is. And she explained that's how people sealed letters back in the day. I was, mm-hmm. The disappointment I felt was so unreal.
So I'm watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, mm-hmm. and at some point in one of the songs says something about sealing a letter with sealing wax that she got from Colonial Williamsburg. And that made me laugh really, really hard because I had sealing wax as a child that I got from Colonial Williamsburg that I refused to use because I was afraid of running out of it. And so like, her experience that she sings about in that song, I could completely relate to.
You know what's funny is like I was gifted some sealing wax, you know, being a Harry Potter nerd minus all the turf crap. I got a sealing wax and stamp Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe used it once in my life. Cause I was like, I gotta use this for like really special letters. And now I'm like, it's a fucking Harry Potter stamp. Like, what am I gonna do with this now?
Exactly. You have something like that and it feels so special. It's got to be for really, really important letters. And then, you know, you size up your letter and you're like, I don't think this is sealing wax worthy. And then it just, you know, it's not even part of your thought process anymore because the sealing wax is in this exalted place in your stationery drawer and you never pull it out or use it.
Right. And maybe it's because we were both disappointed finding out what sealing wax actually really is.
Right. We're like, this doesn't go in the ceiling. Where are all these promised cracks that I was just
filling with sealing wax? Where were the cracks that I was promised with which to fill? I mean, I guess we've just kind of proved Jackie Paper's point, I guess, about why he was giving sealing wax to Puff, because it is kind of a special thing.
It is. Well, do you want to learn about Puff the Magic Dragon?
I do.
Okay, let me
get your bong ready.
Whoa, you went there already.
Well, I think like everyone thinks that for the first time, mm-hmm. you know.
I do have something to say about that. Yeah.
In elementary school, like you have to learn how to sing it. It was an elementary school song for us. I remember like someone in my class was like, you know, the song's about like marijuana and that is a drug, right? And I was like, I thought it was about a dragon.
Yeah, right.
Innocent.
Well, I will get to that. I do have something to say on that specifically.
They have a giant bong in front of them right now. It's just boiling over with smoke.
Who does?
You do.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like I'm so
she's so baked.
I'm so baked, so baked that I forgot that there was this giant bong in front of me. It's like,
yeah, we sound like real stoners.
I don't even see it anymore. I'm so baked.
We're so high right now off of sealing wax.
Okay. So starting at the beginning, the story of Puff begins with a 19-year-old college student attending Cornell who just happens to read a poem from 1936 by Ogden Nash called The Tale of the Custard Dragon. So firstly, do you know who Ogden Nash is?
I love Ogden Nash.
Oh, great.
His food poems are some of my favorite things in the world.
That is so awesome. Okay, I thought there was a chance that you would know who Ogden Nash is because you're so well read. So I'm going to give some context to anybody that's listening. Ogden Nash was an American poet that was known for his humorous poems that were kind of playful with traditional conventions of rhyming schemes. He'd play with misspellings or mispronunciations of the emphasized rhymed word. So it is something I feel like is so common now that it comes off as corny today. But I think at the time that it messed with people's expectations in such a way that it was really funny. And I doubt he was the first to do this, but he was very well known for it and beloved for his silly poetry. He was a regular guest on radio shows. He was included in serious American poet anthologies. And at one point, the U.S. Postage Service issued a stamp with his face on it for his birthday.
So cute.
Isn't that cute?
That's so adorable.
Yeah, so I thought I'd give a little background on Ogden Nash just to provide some context to say like why someone would have read this poem, the poem called The Tale of the Custard Dragon. Have you ever read that one?
I don't think I have, actually.
So at this point in the conversation, I read the Ogden Nash poem to Aaron, and I did this attempting a vaudeville-esque delivery, which I did to various levels of success. But it occurred to me that I could ask someone that I knew could do it well, and because I love collaboration, that is exactly what I did. So here is my friend, Moises Chuyan, performing Tale of Custard the Dragon by Ogden Nash.
The Tale of Custard the Dragon by Ogden Nash. Belinda lived in a little white house, with a little black kitten, and a little gray mouse, and a little yellow dog, and a little red wagon, and a Relio, Trulio, little pet dragon. Now the name of the little black kitten was Ink, and the little gray mouse she called her Blink, and the little yellow dog was sharp as mustard. But the dragon was a coward, and she called him Custard. Custard the dragon had big sharp teeth, and spikes on top of him, and scales underneath, mouth like a fireplace, chimney for a nose, and Relio, Trulio, daggers on his toes. Belinda was as brave as a barrel full of bears, and Ink and Blink chased lions down the stairs. Mustard was as brave as a tiger in a rage, but Custard cried for a nice safe cage. Belinda tickled him. She tickled him unmerciful. Ink, Blink, and Mustard, they rudely called him Percival. They all sat laughing in the little red wagon at the Relio, Trulio, cowardly dragon. Belinda giggled till she shook the house, and Blink said, "Weak," which is giggling for a mouse. Ink and Mustard rudely asked his age when Custard cried for a nice safe cage. Suddenly they heard a nasty sound, and Mustard growled, and they all looked around. "Meouch!" cried Ink, and "Ooh!" cried Belinda, for there was a pirate climbing in the window. Pistol in his left hand, pistol in his right, and he held in his teeth a cutlass bright. His beard was black, one leg was wood. It was clear that the pirate meant no good. Belinda paled, and she cried, "Help, help!" But Mustard fled with a terrified yelp. Ink trickled down to the bottom of the household, and Little Mouse Blink was strategically mouse-holed. But up jumped Custard, snorting like an engine, clashed his tail like irons in a dungeon. With a clatter and a clank and a jangling squirm, he went at the pirate like a robin at a worm. The pirate gaped at Belinda's dragon, and gulped some grog from his pocket flagon. He fired two bullets, but they didn't hit, and Custard gobbled him every bit. Belinda embraced him. Mustard licked him. No one mourned for his pirate victim. Ink and Blink in glee did gyrate around the dragon that ate the pirate. Belinda still lives in her little white house with her little black kitten and her little gray mouse and her little yellow dog and her little red wagon and her Relio, Trulio, little pet dragon. Belinda is as brave as a barrel full of bears, and Ink and Blink chase lions down the stairs. Mustard is as brave as a tiger in a rage, but Custard keeps crying for a nice, safe cage.
Okay, well, now that you've heard the poem, what do you think of that poem?
I love how cute Ogden Nash is. I just love how adorable he is. I also think there's something really charming about naming something Custard.
Yes, I agree. You know? I think it'd be a really cute name for a dog.
Right, and also Custard's actually really hard to make. Oh. It's not an easy task, right? Mm-mm. And it's double charming for a dragon to be named that, because I can imagine that having a pet dragon's not an easy feat.
Right.
But I also don't like how is a mouse making fun of a dragon like that?
That is a mouse with a huge ego.
Right? You know, a cat, I can understand a dog, but like a mouse being like, look at this chump wanting to be in a cage.
I mean, yeah, when you strategically mouse-holed.
But how did someone read that and then go, I'm going to write Puff the Magic Dragon?
Okay, so, you know, that's a very good question because that's exactly where I was going from there. So you remember that 19-year-old that I mentioned, yeah, the Cornell student. His name is Lenny Lipton.
Okay.
And he read the poem and he thought that he could do better. So he went over to his friend's apartment, Peter Yarrow, and mm-hmm. borrowed his typewriter to call into creation Puff the Magic Dragon. And there's sort of a gap in the story at this mm-hmm. point. But what I can infer is that after typing out the poem, for some reason, he just left it at his friend Peter's house and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, Peter was trying to get in touch with Lenny for a very Puff-specific reason. Because by this time, Peter had been in a very successful folk group called Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about them?
I know they're big hits. They had mm-hmm. like Puff the Magic Dragon and then Leaving on a Jet Plane. Mm-hmm. That was their other one.
Which is written by, I've forgotten who, John Denver.
Oh, that's such a John Denver song.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter, from Peter, Paul, and Mary, was like, oh, this guy left these lyrics in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get a hold of Lynn again.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Lipton?
Lenny Lipton.
As in the T?
Yes.
And because he was recording it with Peter, Paul, and Mary, or had he already done it?
Well, no, he hadn't already done it. Well, okay. I'm not entirely sure. I think just to say, like, give a little bit more about Peter, Paul, and Mary, they became big mm-hmm. in the 60s during the big American folk revival. Mm-hmm. And some of their biggest hits are Bob Dylan covers, which yeah. they did a lot of covers as they sang John Denver's Leaving on a Jet Plane. But they did write their own songs. I think that those songs just weren't as popular. One of the big exceptions is Puff the Magic Dragon. Mm-hmm. And by the time that Peter was trying to reach Lenny, they had released their first album, which went double platinum. So like they were already in like, you know, a really great position. And mm-hmm. so he was trying to get a hold of Lenny because he had set Lenny Lipton's poem to a melody and wanted to publish it and to give mm-hmm. Lenny half of the songwriting credit. And he did get in touch with him. So the song Puff the Magic Dragon went on to become, as I said, one of their biggest hits, not just because it did fairly well on the charts, but it went on to be a phenomenon. It's part of the American cultural lexicon and at this point is pretty well known all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1978, the song was adapted into an animated television special by Fred Wolf Films, which Eric talked about in the Mouse and His Child episode. It's the studio that was started by Fred Wolf and Jimmy Murakami. And
yes.
And they animated such things as The Point, the Tootsie Roll commercials, and probably most meaningful to you, The Adventures of American Rabbit.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So, and aside for the listeners, I've watched a lot of weird cartoons in my day, but American Rabbit's one of the weirdest, and I hope one day to be able to cover it for Memory Static. It's truly bizarre.
I think it's a must at some point in the future. So unfortunately, there really isn't a whole lot of information that I was able to find on the specials themselves. The first one got pretty good ratings and led to two sequels that I mentioned, The Living Lies and Incredible Mr. Nobody. All three, Puff the Magic Dragon is voiced by Burgess Meredith, who was Mickey the Trainer in the Rocky series. And
what?
And he was also the Penguin in the old Adam West Batman series.
What?
Yeah. He's a pretty well-known actor and he did a lot of other things. I just felt like those were the two that I think most people would recognize him from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2016, it was announced that Puff the Magic Dragon was to be adapted into a full-length theatrical feature, but it seems to be lingering in production hell, sadly.
I don't know if I want to see a modern version of that.
It depends on what happens with it, you know? I think that this special is something that people our age have seen, but I don't really know, like, if there's any younger people that have been exposed to it or even would seek it out. Mm-hmm. So I think doing a full feature would be a way of bringing Puff the Magic Dragon into the current culture again.
Yeah, I would hope they would handle it correctly.
That is always the hope. Always. You know? And honestly, like, when it comes to some of this cherished childhood content, trying to bring it to new children, they just don't do it very well.
They really don't.
I would hope that they would handle it well. I mean, I think I really liked the remake of Pete's Dragon. I thought that the remake of Pete's Dragon was great.
I didn't see that one.
I liked it a lot. It was very different. It wasn't a musical.
Okay. I'd be interested in that. The last remake I saw was The Witches, and I despised it.
Yeah.
They took all of the sinister joy that Roald Dahl really goes into with his books out of it. I think, personally speaking, the purest adaptation of Roald Dahl is probably James and the Giant Peach and Matilda. Side note. But I would hope that they would handle Puff better.
So, needless to say, the poem that a young Lenny Lipton wrote and forgot about has turned out to be a very lucrative thing for him, which is kind of wild when you think about it that way. And Lenny is also an inventor, and the money that Puff provided has allowed him the freedom to develop stereography, which, as far as I can tell, is the 3D film technology that we use today. So, what? Yeah, so he found a way around the old 3D technology where you have the red lens and the blue lens, moving away from that, where each eye only receives half of the image and then your brain fixes it. Mm-hmm. He found a way around that. Because, you know, like now, like when you use the modern ones, it's clear. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a whole lot more complicated than the oversimplified statement I'm about to make, but I'm going to make it anyway because I really like this. But we might not have stereography technology today if it weren't for Puff.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know, right?
Thank you, Ogden Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Ogden Nash, for starting this with Custard the Cowardly Dragon.
That led to Puff the Magic Dragon, that led to IMAX theaters.
Yeah. So I have two more things I'd like to go over before we get to the party. One is that I think that if Mr. Lipton were listening to this, there's probably one thing that he would definitely want me to set straight, especially since we were kind of alluding to it before, that the song is emphatically not about smoking drugs.
It is not about sniffing marijuana or freebasing marijuana, smoking marijuana, eating marijuana. It's not about any of those. Shooting up marijuana. No. It's not about that.
No.
It's about a dragon.
It's about a dragon. It's about the loss of innocence. It's about growing up. And the rumor of Puff the Magic Dragon being about weed was started by an American journalist named Dorothy Kilgallen, who mostly wrote columns on business news and gossip and was also a regular panelist on the television show What's My Line. Yeah. So have you heard some of the drug allusions to Puff the Magic Dragon?
I mean, yes and no, mm-hmm. but tell me.
Right.
What did Salacious Dorothy have to say about this?
Right. Puff is like, you know, Puff. Oh,
yeah. Puff Pass. We all
know. Yeah. And dragon was supposed to be like dragging, like taking a drag.
Oh.
Dragon. And Jackie Paper is an allusion to rolling papers.
Uh-huh.
And then there were some others that I feel that were quite a stretch, like that Hana Lee stood for hashish. What? And that it lives by the sea, that sea was for cannabis. and that the autumn mist stood for smoke. I feel like it starts to fall apart in how much of a stretch it is.
Very much. Hanalei to me always was, as a child, and even still as an adult, I always thought that they framed it after like Honolulu.
Okay.
So you're supposed to think this is a beautiful paradise.
Interesting. I just always thought that Hanalei was just a really great made up word. Like it is a beautiful word.
It is. It's really beautiful. But yeah, when I was a kid, I always like, it's Honolulu.
I can see how you would make that correlation. Mm-hmm. But Lini Lipton has not appreciated this interpretation and has never been able to completely dispel its allure, because people really like to think that these things that are, you know, seemingly innocent and for children have this more adult intention behind them, right?
Well, that was such a part of the 60s too, you know, and the 70s. Play this record backwards and Satan's singing to you.
Right. Like there's all these secret hidden meetings and things.
Yeah, because what was it? The Beatles, right? I Want to Hold Your Hand. When they sang I Get High.
Uh-huh. Yes. They,
you know? And it's like.
Yeah, but they don't say I get high, right? I can't hide.
Yeah, it's I can't hide. But everyone was like, oh, they're singing about getting stoned. And I was like, they hadn't even met Bob Dylan yet. Right. Like,
well, I think that's what Bob Dylan said when he introduced them to weed, because they thought that they had already smoked, because like, you know, that one song where you sing, I get high, I get high. Yeah. And like, I think John Lennon looks like it's I can't hide. And then like took a big drag. That's how I like to imagine it anyway.
Exactly. But like, you know, so people were like, America, like the atomic family structure was like really under attack by counterculture, right? Mm-hmm. The folk singers of the mid to late 50s up until like the 60s, up until the British invasion, they were beatniks and they were potheads and they were subverting normal culture and all of this. It's easy, like in terms of like the American idiom, where like a lot of people would read in the children's shows and songs and things that are meant to be lighthearted for duplicity, because they felt like their values were under attack. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the like mid to late 60s into the 70s, it just got far more blatant.
Right. Well, and the thing is with this, with Puff the Magic Dragon, I remember hearing the rumors that Puff the Magic Dragon was actually about drugs. And that conversation ends up showing up in Meet the Parents with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. They have a really uncomfortable car conversation, mm-hmm. where Robert De Niro is like, hey, do you like Peter, Paul, and Mary? And he puts on Puff the Magic Dragon. He's like, I love this song. And Ben Stiller's like, yeah, who would have thought that it was about what it's about? And Robert De Niro's like, what do you mean? and then he's like, well, you know, it's like about, smoking weed. And he's like, no, it's not. It's about a little boy and his dragon. And like, why would you say that? Do you smoke weed?
I mean, I'm glad that it's like still pertinent, like fight for Lenny's rights.
Right.
Fight for the meaning of the song. I'm here for that.
Yeah. It's just, it's funny, especially since now there's so much more sinister things that could be like overlaid than, you know, weed. Like, right? Who cares?
You have to remember, like, these people were like part of like the propaganda boom of like, you know, anti-marijuana standpoints.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know?
For sure. So, especially through the 80s with the whole war on drugs and how pot was rolled into the same categories as heroin and cocaine and...
Which is insane to think about.
It is like, insane like to think about.
Truly insane to think about. So it makes sense that Dorothy decided to be very salacious with a very sweet song.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the sad, sad ending of the song. It's not that way in the television special, but in the song, it is a very sad ending. And apparently in the original poem that Lini Lipton wrote, there was another verse where Puff finds a new kid to play with after Jackie Paper leaves, kind of like Drop Dead Fred.
I was going to say a less annoying Drop Dead Fred.
Right. But the original parchment that the poem was typed out on is lost, and neither Lini or Peter remembers very much about how the verse went. other than it had a happier ending.
I'm just going to pretend now that the ending for Puff is him going to live at Foster's home for imaginary friends.
That is a really good ending. I'm going to ask everybody else what they think the ending should be too.
What I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
That's where Puff is.
He just went to Foster's home. Aww.
Yeah.
Finally, before we go to the party, I'd like to end with some words from Lenny Lipton's WordPress blog post about Puff that I think are really sweet. Okay.
Okay.
Puff the Magic Dragon has become part of the folk mythology, not only of Western Europe, but of much of the world. The few minutes I put into writing the poem seem to me to be all out of proportion to the benefit I've reaped from Puff the Magic Dragon, or indeed the benefit that the world has derived from Puff the Magic Dragon. Puff's popularity is a phenomenon that I don't comprehend, because Puff has not been promoted like Mickey Mouse, for example. Puff the Magic Dragon got to where he is because people like him, not because of any marketing effort, because there was very little of that. In any event, here's to Puff the Magic Dragon. Puff was my financier. Puff funded my work in electronic stereoscopic displays. Puff, unlike my other investors, never asked for anything back. He never grilled me at a board meeting. He never lectured me about having to make a profit. He never told me that I had to cut out projects I loved. He never asked for subordinated this or that or warrants. He never was greedy or a pain in the ass. He never lied to me or changed the deal at the 11th hour. He was always respectful. Puff's been a generous, forgiving, and kindly investor, one who has never stopped giving. So thank you, Puff. Thank you, Jackie Paper. And thank you, Hana Lee. I'm heading your way.
Oh, that's so sweet. Honestly, I was thinking about this while you were reading that. I was like, wow, like, you know, the song ends in this really sad way, but because of the longevity of it and how Puff the Magic Dragon is about this loss of innocence, right? But it's also part of that innocence is our ability to be curious and just, you know, screw around with something until we can make something new, which seems to be very important to Lenny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sweet. And maybe it's a little bit corny and sentimental, but I'm an Ogden Nash fan, so I'm going to be that way for the rest of my life. While the song ends with Puff being alone, he's really not, because he's just had such a long term around the world. Everybody knows him.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really good way of thinking of it. Everybody knows him, so Puff isn't alone.
No.
It'll never be. Make me cry.
I know. Like, I'm getting actually really emotional thinking about it, and like... How sweet is that? Because that means that if Puff is still around, that means you still have the ability to be curious and be a kid.
Yeah.
Right? God. Yeah. I'm sorry for being overly emotional about Puff, but like, it actually means a lot to me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here for this then.
Anyway. Well,
are you ready to watch the things and then join the party?
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay. God. All right, let's go.
Let's go. So we've got a plant, a mushroom, a cat, a picture of your dad, and a postcard from Jupiter. Fancy Cal, what are you holding up?
That's a baby monitor.
Oh, a baby monitor. I've also got some string.
We're bringing gifts to Puff.
Oh.
You know, fancy things. Our fancy things.
I brought a mushroom, Nathan.
The dogs love this brush.
Dog brush.
Puff love that. He's got some thick eyebrows.
That's true. I was wondering if it would work on scales, but he does have eyebrows.
I've got this back scratcher.
Nice.
That's pretty fancy.
I have this log.
The log lady.
The log. My baby. Log. Like it.
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks. There we go.
Honestly, I think that the log lady and Puff might live in the same plane.
I think we might have enough fancy stuff for Puff.
Okay.
This is us at the party after watching the three Puff the Magic Dragon TV specials. Got a few people here with us. We've got Kate and Cullen and Amelia and Texana, Aaron, Bailey, Nathan, and Zach. We could just like hop right in there. Like, who has memories of watching any of these when they were little?
Definitely. I remember the first one super vividly and the other two not as much, but I remember them having a profound impact on me and watching them on repeat. And now I'm starting to go, oh shit, I understand some things about myself.
Wow. Like,
why? I don't know. It was a little bit of an out of body experience for me. Cause I don't think I've seen them since I was maybe like 4 or 5. I was really little. And was like very emotionally invested in Jackie Paper, I remember, as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was really upset when him and Puff separated. I remember being very upset every time I would watch it.
This special, he does come back, which
yeah.
is nice.
The thing that I remember is like I got snippets of memory, but the thing that really was concrete in my mind is when Jackie leaves Puff. And Puff goes and he lays down in the cave and just his nose is sticking out. In my mind, that is Puff the Magic Dragon. The whole everything is that one little image of just this really sad, lonely cave and just the nose. And for some reason, I have it in my mind that he died at that point and that was the end.
That's dark. Okay, so for anyone listening that hasn't watched these yet, can anyone give us a short summary of the first one, and then someone give us a short summary of the second one, and someone give us a short summary of the third one?
This little boy is mute and scared of the world, and then a magic dragon comes by and extracts his animus and puts it in paper doll, and that fixes him after they go on an adventure where they learn things and he gets brave, and then the dragon returns his animus to his original body and he's fixed. And the psychiatrists were useless. Need a magic dragon to help.
The second one was about a little girl who could not stop lying until she lied herself into a psychotic break and met a dragon who told her, if you don't stop lying, you're just gonna stay in this crazy reality forever. So admit that your parents are divorced and that it hurts you. And when she did, she completed her psychotic break and she came back to us and told the truth.
Thank you, Texana. Who wants to do the third one?
Nobody.
Nobody
will tell the story.
And nobody's gonna tell the story, it's fine.
And nobody will.
Also, all what's right, hilarious let's... is that if a listener is listening to that and they haven't watched the movie, they will not get that joke.
No.
Once upon a time, there's a little boy and he feels like he can't make any friends because he sees and experiences the world in a creative way. So he makes up a friend that he doesn't realize is made up, named Mr. Nobody, who is a duck. A very common theme throughout all of these movies. Mr. Nobody is charming and lovely and loves to make up songs and do creative things with Terry, but Terry keeps giving Mr. Nobody all the credit. And so people think that he is not willing to grow up. One day, Mr. Nobody goes missing. So Puff and Terry go to the Fantaverse where fantasy lives supreme to go find Mr. Nobody. And that is where Terry figures out that all the creativity and magic has been inside of him the entire time.
Right.
And that's because his parents didn't want to take him to see a quack.
Yeah. So did anybody else want to weigh in on what their favorite one was and why?
I liked the third one the most with Nobody because it sort of touched on that identity crisis that people can go through of not believing that they have anything to offer the world. And, you know, with a little bit of magic, you can see that everything you've been offering the world already has always been you, and you are enough.
Yeah, I think that the Mr. Nobody one is a little bit more complex in the issue that Puff is helping him deal with.
I really like the third one because it's kind of like a fairy tale for neurodivergence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because I bet a lot of us are, you know, spectrum, neuro. I'm madly ADHD. And when you're growing up as a kid, and especially when you're raised as a woman, you're less likely to be diagnosed and helped. You live in this world where you're like always on the outer plane wanting to fit in with other kids. But then when you bring a game to them, they're like, oh, I don't want to play that because I want to go do this normal thing. And you're like, I will just be alone with my books forever. Anyone else had that experience?
I was alone with my books.
I mean, I was cool just being with my books too, but I guess that's why I like the third one. It was very much like a little, it's cool to be you and see sunset paths.
Yeah.
In cracks in the wall and stuff. That's cute.
I definitely wanted to do weird things other than the regular things that other people wanted to do, like play house. But I think that I might have been like a little bit of a bully because I made people do the things that I wanted to do, or I convinced them of doing those things. I don't know. All I know is that I usually convinced people to do the things that I wanted to do because they were more fun anyway.
Did they end up having fun too?
Yeah. Everybody had fun.
You did a good thing.
I think it depends on your tactics.
You weren't a bully there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I wasn't bullying anybody. Maybe I was just manipulative.
Ayla, you still do that sometimes.
Sneak attack from Ilya.
I was like, Ilya's voice. Where is it?
Yeah, she guides all the tours when we're on a road trip, and I'm so down for it.
Yeah, okay, I just know the fun and better things to do, so.
Yeah, I appreciate that sense of direction, and I am a great follower.
You
do. I mean, I just can't imagine, like, a little kid, Bailey, like, all curly-haired, being like, you don't want to play King Arthur's court. I'm going to punch your throat. I just can't imagine that as a thing.
Well, it's because she had straight hair. So just imagine it that way.
Oh, so evil Bailey, they have straight hair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, straightened her hair out.
Yeah, evil Bailey was like, I'm going to be so evil today. I'm going to spend like 3 hours straightening my hair. So everyone
it's going
to
make me so mad.
It's going to make me so evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know the truth now, Bailey, in your little power suits.
Right. I mean, like, do you know anybody like really good that wears power suits that you can trust?
I do. I know you, Bailey.
Oh, thanks, God.
I will always make a joke about this because Bailey was like, dress for the job you want. I'm like a working girl.
So in the first one, they make a ship out of stuff in Jackie Paper's bedroom. Part of it is his bedpost, and they make a rudder out of his guitar. And I did see someone react very strongly to that. So I wanted to get that impression and then ask everybody what they would make a ship out of in their bedroom if they were making a ship to Hanalei. I knew it was you, Cullen.
Your guitar is not going to sound very good after it's been taking 30 mile an hour water currents for like 6 days. That is no good. It's a bad decision.
They have those old fiberglass guitars that I was told you could paddle a boat with by the salesperson one time.
Really?
Yeah.
But should you, though?
I like how everybody picked up their guitars in the background.
Like, oh, time to go paddling.
I would find a way to like make a boat out of things in my house. The first thing I think of is figuring out a way to build a boat around my bicycle so I can use the pedaling to propel the boat. I also have a lot of bookcases. So I'm pretty sure that my boat would be made out of bookcases and my bike.
I'd probably steal my neighbor's boat that's parked in his driveway.
Do you keep that in your bedroom though?
Just have to knock down your bedroom wall. And then the outside is.
Yeah. He's going to build a bedroom around the boat.
Just to steal the boat.
And then
just
be like, Puff, I picked this. This is the thing.
I guess like the most logical thing, right, is I've got a big dresser.
Logical. We're going to Hanalei.
So I have a mattress.
I have to second the dresser because as a child, I was convinced that I could be a cartoon and be hanging out in a dresser drawer like a bed and be pushed back in, you know, like a cartoon. And I convinced a friend of mine to try it out with me. And I got in the top drawer and she was in the bottom drawer. And, you know, physics happened and it toppled over and I leapt out of the drawer and she was stuck. Like, I just remember turning around and seeing this look of terror with this poor girl stuck in a drawer in a dresser on the ground. So maybe Puff could help us, you know, to where, you know, nobody gets crushed under the weight of a dresser.
As a preschool teacher, it's more bookshelf than dresser. But it could really work with either one. We turn those on the side and then we put the children in them and we're like, let's go somewhere. And we start paddling and it's a boat. So, you know, child logic.
That's magical.
It's magical, but it also could work because you could chop apart the wood and maybe make a raft with it, but not a boat because you would need to like wet down the wood in order to bend the wood. And
I'll just get one of the drawers from the dresser, just simplify, and a bed sheet.
And what are you going to use as a rudder? Not a guitar.
Not a guitar.
Another drawer.
Another drawer. Just start chopping drawers.
I don't know, a big speaker, and sound can propel you.
Ooh.
Well, I've got a air conditioner wall unit, so I'll just use that. The air will propel me.
You know,
you can use that to fill your sail.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are coming up with very savvy ways to make the world work for you, and I'm like, I'll just use my bike to pedal through the ocean.
Good luck with that, Aaron. See ya in Honolulu in 3 years.
Air conditioning and sound might provide propulsion, but you need something to control it with,
like a rudder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
or another speaker.
You mean a guitar?
No.
Oh, you mean the ukulele?
Wait, do you mean a bass guitar?
What about a harpsichord?
A harpsichord. What about a banjo? What
about a melodica?
Just use a chopstick.
A melodica.
Melodica.
That would provide propulsion and steering.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because of its shape and its wind. Yeah.
And wind.
Yeah, you just have to blow in it, and that might get exhausting. So,
well, we could use the air conditioner.
Yeah, you could use the air conditioner to blow into the melodica.
Yep.
And we're going to use Aaron's biking as power creation. So we'll be hooked up.
Yeah, whatever. See you in 3 years in Honolulu, everybody. Bailey.
We can just hook your bike up to the ceiling fan and you'll just get there before everybody else because it'll be like a little helicopter instead of a boat.
How did none of us think about our ceiling fans?
Thank you, Ilya. Suck it, nerds.
Why did you just
Ilya and I are going to Honolulu together. Screw you. That's what I learned from Puff the Magic Dragon.
I like how this became a race.
I think that's just a sign, if we've learned anything, of your envy. That rage right there.
I have the real solution to get to Honolulu first. And that's to just be troubled. And then the Magic Dragon will show up and do all the work for you.
I mean, it's true. I guess Puff's just been really busy this past year. Because
a lot of troubled kids during the pandemic.
Yeah. And we're adults.
Adults can be troubled too.
Yeah, but Puff doesn't care about troubled adults.
Like, that's what quacks are for.
They blow the powder into your face, and then you see the world as it truly is.
The best
or so they all tell me, yes.
So I think that part of the lasting power of Puff the Magic Dragon, the song, I think is the tragic ending, because it is very sad. And it ends with Jackie Paper growing up and abandoning Puff and Puff slipping into his cave. So what do you remember thinking about that ending when you were little versus now?
I mean, it hits me hard still now. I listen to the Raffi station with my son a lot. and Puff the Magic Dragon comes on. And the other day I started tearing up listening to it because it just hit me of, God, adulthood sucks sometimes. Like, I want to go back and hang out with Puff. It still pulls at your heartstrings. I want a happier ending for sure. Like, I don't want to forget, you know, the magic.
I didn't ever want to leave Puff, and I didn't want to ever throw my toys away, a la Toy Story. There were a lot of things to make you feel really guilty about growing up when you were a kid.
That's why the pre-show, that Lego version of Puff the Magic Dragon, like, really got to me, actually.
Before we started the actual Puff the Magic Dragon, we watched a stop-motion Lego animation that someone had made to the song of Puff the Magic Dragon. It was really sweet. How would you end Puff the Magic Dragon? If you got to write a last verse, how would you end the song?
I think it's perfect the way it is. I mean, it's sad and it sucks, but I think that's part of the reason why it stays, is it doesn't just have that fairy tale ending. You know, it's like this beautiful imaginative song about childhood that inevitably ends, and that's just a little bit of the reality, and you could take some of it with you, but ultimately you do leave it behind.
I would say it's also maybe a little less of leaving it behind, because you're getting something to take with you, which is this new perspective, new way to look at things that would, I guess, if you take these lessons, carry you more than not having those throughout the rest of your life, you know.
It makes me think of the end of The Labyrinth and how, like, you know, she goes on this journey of growing up and being responsible and saving her brother, who before she just tossed away to the goblins. And at the end, she had to, like, throw all of her toys and all of her things that she found special away because she realized that they were just stuff. But then at the very end, all of her friends are saying goodbye to her, and she's like, just because I'm older now doesn't mean I have to say goodbye. And then they all party with her. And that's the way it should be.
Actually, I wanted to say that to me, the story of the song, including the ending, kind of serves as a reminder that you have to care for your imagination in order for it to flourish, you know, because they played that verse, the last verse of the song, at the end of the first special. There was a scene that kind of paralleled it, because Jackie Paper had gone home and Puff was sad because, spoilers, bad things happened in Honolulu. But Jackie comes back because he can, you know, and then the dragon isn't sad anymore. That's all it takes, you know, just a visit.
I think that's, like, one of the tragedies of this really weird and special song, is that for a lot of people, wonder is only something experienced when you're a child. And that's just simply not the case if you make that choice, right? So what Colin said.
But what was it you said to me on the phone earlier? I really liked that quote. It was a Tom Robbins quote.
Oh, yeah. There's this Tom Robbins quote that I really like, that I like to think about whenever I get blue, which is, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And that's kind of what Puff is to me.
Yeah, I like that a lot. One more question. Does anybody feel like they would have served a different type of soup to help with the cold in Honolulu?
Matzo ball soup! So yummy.
You'd have the comical effect of having the big matzo balls falling down in addition to just the soup. Which, by the way, that soup really sucked. It was just broth.
Yeah, it was just chicken soup. It was just broth, yeah.
It was just chicken broth. There wasn't, to have a soup, it has to have more things in it.
Is that true?
I don't
know. Well, tomato soup doesn't have things in it.
But they didn't say it was a cream of chicken soup. They just said it was chicken soup, which you would assume would have, like, pieces of chicken in it, maybe some noodles, but this was
or is that chicken noodles marketing that makes us think that chicken soup has noodles?
But what is chicken soup if it's not just broth?
It's matzo ball soup without matzo balls.
Chicken soup is the Jewish penicillin. We all know this. Well, and growing up, I had a lot of Jewish penicillin in my freezer. And it was always just the broth, because when you're really sick, you don't actually want to eat a lot of chunks. You just can like kind of sip some liquids. So I think it was actually pretty accurate with it not having chunks in it.
Oh,
yeah. I feel like spicy is what gets rid of your stuffy nose. But maybe I'm wrong.
I would say that if you were dropping spicy chicken soup on people's heads, it would probably burn their eyes as well as cure their cold. So I feel like you might want to go with the milder version.
Wait, here's another question about the lore of that scene. The chicken noodle soup healed all of nature. Does that mean that all of what you're shaking
it
your
only,
head?
It only healed their noses, and then they went about fixing Hanalei.
Oh, the noses fixed the nature.
And the magic.
Okay, it was raining chicken noodle soup the whole time, so I thought that had the magical property.
There weren't any noodles.
I'm sorry. I've been proved wrong.
It's marketing. I got schooled. Weaseled into your brain.
Maybe it just because chicken noodle soup is superior.
Noodlier, not soupier.
Yeah, that was a good pun though.
Oh, I didn't get the pun.
Superior.
There
you go.
I got it.
She got it, everybody.
Does anybody have any final thoughts or observations before we wrap it up?
Nope.
The walls gotta tear down those walls.
And the walls come tumbling down.
And the walls.
That was probably the best song.
Yeah.
Other than the theme song.
No. Who cares about that song?
The walls come tumbling down. I like the song from the first one when they're pouring the chicken soup.
I like that one a lot too. I also, someone made this comment during the viewing, but I feel like it needs to be said in the podcast, that Puff's vest and bow tie, it's part of his scales.
Yeah.
And I had never realized that. Like, as a child, I was just like, oh yeah. You know, you absorb something and then as an adult, you're like, so are his scales in the shape of a vest?
Yeah, it just grows that way.
And I feel like an honorable mention to the ducks in every episode.
The ducks.
Yes. Just so everyone knows, if you're watching them, there are close-up shots of a duck face in frames hanging on the walls or on top of dressers and stuff like that. And then in the third movie, the duck actually arrives.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the final one. It was actually just a saga about nobody always being there until nobody materialized and integrated fully into yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Became somebody.
And with that, I think that's where we call it.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you everybody for coming and sharing, and this has been Memory Static. Until the next time, return your videos here.
Yeah. Return them.
Can we try to do it all together?
Return like. Your videos here.
Yeah,
return your videos here.
Okay. One, two.
Return your videos.
Return your videos here. I thought nobody was returning them.
Just return them to nowhere.
But you're over there.
Videos to here. The competing location.
There?
Where?
Over there.
Nobody brought them here.
Return your videos here.
Thank you for listening to Memory Static. This episode was produced and edited by me, Bailey Moore. Special thanks to Aaron Brothers for being my guest co-host, and a special thanks to Moises Chuyan for the dramatic reading of The Tale of Custard the Dragon. And thank you to all of the party guests. All of the transitional sounds were created for this episode by Cullen Moore. If you want to join in for one of these viewing parties, follow Memory Static on Facebook. We are also on Instagram and Patreon if you'd like to support the podcast in another way. If you have any stories that you'd like to share about any of the movies we've covered or any of the party questions from any episode, you can email them to me at memorystatic@gmail.com. Our first album with all of the original songs from season one is now available to stream or purchase at plaidtuxedo.com/memorystatic. We are hard at work on the songs for the upcoming third season, which will be coming your way very soon. Until then, take care of yourself and stay safe. Bye for now.